always, like to welcome you guys to check out all the cool stuff we've got available in the media world. Don, what do we got?
Well, thevalleyoutdoors.com.
And Facebook. We'll check those both out. And the interactive side of the website is super cool, so we always talk about that every week. So anything you're looking for in the outdoors as far as the DNR or otherwise, we've got it on there, and as well as other links that we've had with past guests.
Right. And we're putting some links for recipes as we talk about them.
Perfect.
I don't know if they're up there yet, but they
will be
on it.
Yep. Good. Perfect. Well, speaking of recipes, in this case, recipes for making fuel, this next guest is a good friend of mine. Used to work with him at Evinrude Outboards, and he is one smart dude, Mr. Jeff Wassel. He is the Director of Environmental Health and Safety for the National Marine Manufacturers Association, and I am so happy you're on today, Jeff. It's so good to talk to you again, and you've got a lot of cool stuff that's coming down the pipe, as I understand.
Absolutely. Yeah, always a pleasure to talk with you, Eric. So, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to chat about on fuels.
So let me start out with this, lay the groundwork. You know, one of the big issues sure. that we have in the world of marine is ethanol. Ethanol is just a bane to our existence as it trashes pieces and parts of the old outboards that weren't prepared for the ethanol side of it. And we're looking at it saying, well, you know, that's the only way that we can run anything. And it's just, now it's going to electric. There's some other things that I know are out there and more than I even knew, but you got some really cool stuff that I was blown away by. And of course, Don, you and I talked, you know, we want to support the farmer with the corn.
Right.
And, you know, it's not that, and ethanol has been a bad guy. It has, because it's destroyed a bunch of different things in fuel lines and our gas lawnmowers and everything else. So fill us in. What is this next step that we can look forward to? And we don't have to say electric is the only way we're going to be able to go forward and propel a vehicle.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, the goal is not to electrify. The goal is, how do we minimize CO2 emissions from recreational boats? And real quick, before I get into fuels, I got to mention, just as a side note, perception is always a big issue for our industry. People, you know, folks think, hey, recreational boating is contributing a lot to greenhouse gas emissions unnecessarily and the rest. We consume 0.5% of the gasoline in the United States, 0.5%, and we're 0.7% of the CO2 of transportation in the U.S. and 0.1% in Europe. So it's really, really small. However, with that said, we're doing a lot of things as an industry to try and minimize and do our part. You know, we want to give the consumer options to be able to do their part to reduce CO2 emissions. And one of the ways we're looking at is with sustainable marine fuels. And you probably heard a little bit about it on the aviation side, sustainable aviation fuel. We're talking about sustainable marine fuels. And in the past, we've done quite a bit of work on bioisobutanol or biobutanol. That was a multi-year project that we worked on as an industry with all of the different engine manufacturers, boat manufacturers, and we actually approved next generation biobutanol for use in marine products. And that's a great way to reduce CO2 emissions. It's also very much compatible with the existing fuel systems and fuel lines and the rest that are in use, even older stuff, which is great.
That's a big problem.
Absolutely. I think, you know, some of the challenges we had with ethanol is really primarily to do with its affinity for water. And, you know, boats, let's be honest, I mean, they're stored more often than they're used. And if you introduce water into the fuel system, whether it be, you know, by the process of using the boat or just in storage, that fuel can phase separate over time. And then you've got this really concentrated mixture of corrosive ethanol and water,
now,
which gets into your fuel lines.
Important here that I want to make sure people understand, phase separation is you've got ethanol fuel, there's ethanol in the fuel, and it likes water, so it's going to take either humidity from the air, it's going to attach to it, and it drops to the bottom of the tank, and it cannot be remixed. You can't shake up your tank and get that to basically the same formation you had before, where it was the ethanol spread throughout and mixed with the gas. It's dropped out and done, and that's when the bad things happen.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, even if you have a fuel system that's rated for higher ethanol concentrations, it when you have that ethanol and water mix, it's just so corrosive, and it sits there in the fuel lines, and it just can deteriorate those systems. Then you get all this kind of black debris and goo that gets into the mm-hmm. into the fuel system and causes problems. So it's really important, if you're going to run ethanol fuels, that when you winterize your boat or put it away for storage, make sure you fill up the tank. That'll prevent condensation from forming inside the tank, which is one of the causes of phase separation. So try and keep your fuel tank full if you're going to, you know, keep your boat in storage for a certain period of time. So that's definitely important. It's not really a big issue with automotive, because you're
burning fuel.
You know, you're using, yeah, you're burning fuel all the time. Every week or two, you're filling up the tanks. It's not, it never sits there for that long. But in a boat, you got to think about things like that. And go ahead.
Yep. Let's jump to the sustainable stuff, because sure. The sustainable, new sustainable is what blew me away.
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about it. So we formed within NMMA a Sustainable Marine Fuels Task Force, and it was primarily comprised of fuel manufacturers, fuel distributors, engine manufacturers, and boat manufacturers to talk about, you know, the viability of sustainable fuels. And one of the fuels, like I mentioned before, is biobutanol. That's primarily available in Texas. They are selling it there successfully at quite a few locations, not only marinas, but standard fueling stations. But the other product that we're looking into, and we're going to have a demonstration at the upcoming Miami International Discover Boating International Boat Show, Wednesday, February 15th. Mark your calendar. It's a great place to be in February, by the way.
I'll be there.
Awesome. We're going to demonstrate three different fuels. We'll have biobutanol-powered boats. We'll have renewable diesel. It's manufactured by a company called Neste, and they'll be there to showcase their product. Another product that's really promising right now is it's a partially renewable gasoline. And it actually reduces CO2 emissions by about 30% more than E10. It does not contain any alcohol. However, it uses ethanol as a building block. So basically, you're using renewable content to produce this partially renewable gasoline. And it behaves very much like standard gasoline. And that's something that the industry, we're just starting to investigate that as a new option for our industry as well. So really, really promising stuff. And it's basically a drop-in. And that's the nice thing about these products is, you know, you've got existing engines and boats that you can simply fuel up with these products and immediately start reducing CO2 emissions as a whole from the process. So
no,
very, very, very cool stuff.
And we talked about electrical a little bit when we were off air, and mm-hmm. electrification being everybody, they're falling all over electric. Electric in boats doesn't work unless you've got a small boat. You and I talked about that. A small boat, 14 foot, something like that. Maybe you can go a little bit bigger, but you have to have the battery capacity to match it, but then you don't have the total charge time to use, or the actual time to actually use the product, because you can't run it from, there's no completely full and there's no completely empty. So you have a window of opportunity that's reduced from the total capacity.
Yeah, very. I mean, electric boating, it very much depends on the application, the duty cycle, the way in which you're going to use the boat. It's certainly not a, you know, a lot of folks say, hey, well, you know, why is the industry continuing to work on internal combustion engines? Just put an electric motor in a boat and a battery pack and be done with it, you know, and that's kind of the perception of it. And it's very challenging from a weight perspective. So when you're looking at, let's just take an example here just to kind of visualize a little bit. But let's say you got a 1,500 horsepower offshore center console fishing boat. To take that amount of energy density that's in the fuel tank and switch that over to electric, can you do it? Absolutely. You can make an electric motor 1,500 horsepower, no problem. But the amount of battery that you would need to get the range would basically sink the boat. Now, if you're going to use a boat for a very short period of time, okay, you could probably make something like that work. But overall, it's very dependent on the application, the duty cycle, the range that you need. So it's not transparent to just switch over to electric. You know?
Well, and also one of the things you talked about too, and this is interesting, Don, the supply. This floored me. The supply of products to make the batteries. But what was that number? I mean, you've got it down pat. What was that situation you're going to deal with?
So something that a lot of folks aren't talking about is the amount of raw materials that are required to make the battery pack. So pretty much what's going on is the majority of the CO2 emissions that are going into the production of the vessel and the battery pack, it all goes into the battery pack. Okay, so you're basically front loading 10 years worth of use in producing a battery pack. And what a lot of folks don't know is if automotive were to switch over 100% today, let's say every single vehicle that's made is electric, they'd only have about 2 years worth of raw materials. That's based on, you know, cobalt, lithium supplies, and the rest. So it's really shocking when you take a look at the information. If you really want to go forward with that, then you have to, they'll have to be something that changes with the chemistry in the batteries. And that's what they're hoping. There'll be some kind of breakthrough in the materials. But as it stands today, you've only got about 2 years worth of production.
And this is where important for me is the extra the fuels that are going on right now. It changes the infrastructure. It prevents the complete change of infrastructure, number one. Number two, we can use the same engines we have. We don't have to worry about changing the engine makeup. And you can still have these engines that we spent a lot of money on developing, becoming fuel efficient, becoming low emission, low everything. And with the new fuels, you can reduce the emissions simply by the fuel. So you still are able to get that same boat you want, the car you want, whatever you want, and achieve the same horsepower densities, the important things that you want out of a boat or an automobile, but without having to worry about the cold weather sucking 30 to 40%, which is a fact, 30 to 40% out of your battery life, and the charging time going up to 3 hours when it's cold. Those things, and I've done a lot of research on it lately, and it's crazy, the differences. And if we have something that we don't have to change to, but it still gives us those emissions reductions and maintains that, then our prices won't go off the map.
When will these fuels be available?
So biobutanol is actually available in Texas right now. The renewable diesel product from Neste is actually for sale, primarily on the West Coast to meet the California low carbon fuel standard. So those are options that are available right now. And the partially renewable gasoline, from what I understand, is going to be starting to be available this year as well. So these are things that are, you know, very much now, not 10 years in the future. So
the thing we have to worry about, you and I talked about, Jeff, is if they're going to allow it because of the politics that's involved with trying to push electric, and that's going to be the disappointing factor. If they don't allow this stuff to come forward and don't allow this to be pushed, this is going to save people a ton of money, both in their pocketbook, long-term and short-term, and as well as their infrastructure situation as well. So, but
that's a great point, Eric, because you're absolutely right. I mean, right now the focus is 100% on electrification, and there's other options that are out there to help us achieve the goal of reducing CO2 emissions. And we have to pursue those options. And anything anything folks can do to push that message, it's very much appreciated. We need to speak up and talk about this stuff in a meaningful way.
Sounds good. So, Jeff, I can't thank you enough for coming and joining us today. Amazing how fast time flies, but we definitely are going to have you on again. We'll talk about this, and another couple people from your same area in the NMMA are going to help us out, talk about the restrictions they're looking at putting out there too. So again, Jeff, thank you so much, and appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Talk soon.
We'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Jeff is one brainiac guy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, then there's probably a whole lot more you'd like to visit with him about.
And we will do that again for sure.
Yeah.
But I will say this, Don, you and I talked a little off air. This is the opportunity for us to see exactly what we can do with our existing engines. Electrification is not the only way that's going to make this work. In fact, I think when a lot of people find out where the products that pull into those batteries come from, I think there's going to be some eyebrows raised. So that Joe Rogan interview came up was amazing.
Yep.
And you might want to check it out if you want to see what's really going on with the battery production. Quick story coming out of Saginaw Bay. A buddy of mine told me about this story. Two of the same men that has now been rescued twice off of Saginaw Bay. They're off of Linwood Beach Marina. They're trying to retrieve their equipment and forced to leave the ice from the previous ice rescue. Therefore, they were rescued on Sunday again, and they had to take a 12-foot flat bottom across the water on the ice floe, and then it capsized in rough water. They had to be rescued again. How do you not fix stupid? I don't know. So anyway, needless to say, if they didn't have their life jackets on, they would have been dead, is what the water rescue guys said. Now they have a GoFundMe page to try and rescue the product off the ice since they can't get to it.
Don't they rent one of those, what do you call them, or the float boats or whatever?
They should get something. I don't know. Anyway, can't fix stupid, but hey, join us next week. We are going to be here. We are the Valley Outdoors for Don, myself, and Ava. Hope you have a fantastic week. See ya. We'll be right back.